God, I'm so glad you're here. We're here to get in the Word of God because we know He's alive. He's risen. And He's here. So embrace His Spirit. Why don't we start off with a word of prayer? Father God in heaven, we look to You now. We're rejoicing because we know who we believe in. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He's risen. And we just want to welcome Your holy presence right now, Father, and say, have Your way. Because we know this time is not about us. It's all about You. We come to glorify our Lord, God, and King. And I ask You, Lord, as Your holy presence just fills this entire place, we're going to experience Your holy presence in full. Let it continually fill us up, overflowing of Your goodness. Because, Lord, we love You. We want to honor You and want to praise You from deep within our hearts. Lord, we give it all to You now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, I'm actually continuing the series that I started several weeks ago. And the title of the series is Spiritual Examinations for a Healthy Mind and Heart. And this time, in Examination 5, the title of this sermon is, how well do you understand the Christian message of Easter? I want you to first notice that I had indicated in my sermon title that I'm going to be talking about a Christian perspective of Easter, because we all know that there is a pagan and a worldly view of Easter, you know, full of Easter colorful eggs and a hopping bunny. But are we to celebrate Easter putting the bunny on the throne? Of course not. We know who we are to celebrate. That's like the song we sang. Celebrate who?
Jesus.
Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate. So I won't even go there this morning because I know it's not important to us as Christians. And I want to put all the focus. I want to put Jesus on the throne and say, let's glorify Him. Amen? And that's where, as our hearts are wide open to the Lord, He's just going to fill us up. He's going to let His presence just fill us to the point of overflowing of His love, His peace, and His joy. Because I believe that when we have a clear and definite understanding of what Easter is all about, we're going to have a healthy and vibrant spiritual life. When we realize what Easter truly is all about and what it truly speaks to us from deep within our hearts. So I'm going to start off things by reading from our scripture passage, which is in John 20, 10 to 18. Take a look at your notes. It says, then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. We are gathered here this morning to celebrate Easter. And the first words that should come to mind for the believer is, He lives. Just like what we see here in this bulletin. What does it say there? He lives. And you see there is, there you go. You see the very fact that the tomb is empty because He's no longer there. He truly lives because that's who we're talking about. Jesus Christ, who has resurrected from the dead. And that is the Easter message. We are to give praise to God because He had moved this stone, and it is estimated that this stone weighs over 2,000 pounds. And we realize only God can move a stone in that great capacity, in that great magnitude of weight. It's only God, Jesus himself, that can do this. He moved the stone in the tomb that day. And you know what? God still moves stones this very day. In our trials and sufferings, guess what? He will move that stone for us so that we may be free. No matter what you're going through in life, brothers and sisters, whatever stone may be standing in your way, whatever that obstacle is, know that Jesus can move it for you. You must trust in him. You must believe in him with your whole heart. So what does Easter stand for? Well, as a Christian, it is important that we understand what Easter is all about, not only because it will increase our faith in Jesus Christ, but also we'll be better prepared to give an excellent answer about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So what are the most important points that we are to understand in the Easter message? Well, you know, in a lot of my sermons, I like to use acronyms, right? And in this sermon, I'm going to do so again. And acronyms, basically, we're going to use a letter to represent a term. So look at that word, Easter. You see, E period, A period, S period, T period, E period, and R period, right? Well, letter E, I want you to remember, means an empty what? Tomb that provides hope in a hopeless world. And I've got to tell you about this father and his teenage son who were living in Mexico City. And, you know, they had an argument. And the son, Paco, shouted curses at his father and stormed out of the house, and he didn't return. And, you know, days turned into weeks and weeks turned into months. And the father started to worry so much for his son Paco. And he searched the city over, and finally, in desperation, he went down to the newspaper and he put out an ad. And he said, "Paco, if you read this, I want you to know that all is forgiven. I love you. I will be waiting for you at this Sunday at the entrance to the city park. I hope you will show up. Love, Dad." That's the note he put in that newspaper ad. And he said that Sunday morning, 200 Pacos showed up at the park all looking for forgiveness. And we got to realize there are so many people searching in this world for forgiveness, for hope, for meaning, for a love that is everlasting, a love that never fails. Because you know what? We live in a world that sometimes all we receive is a superficial kind of love. We say, "I love you," so easily, so readily. But if we are to love with the love of God, it has to come from deep within your soul. It has to be a love that says, "I love you and I'm willing to die, willing to sacrifice for you." That's a real, that's a true kind of love. And the good news of Easter is that the empty tomb provides that hope in this hopeless world. Because we know that tomb is empty. We know that Jesus is alive. The very fact that it is empty, we know, the Bible tells us, Jesus resides where? In our hearts. He is alive. Can you feel his heartbeat? Boom, boom. Boom, boom. That's the heartbeat of Jesus in us. Because this is what the scripture tells us. And as you realize that truly Jesus is alive, guess what? Your life will be full of miracles. Your life will be filled with the blessings of God. Look what it says here in Matthew 12, 20 to 21. It says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In his name the nations will put their hope." A bruised reed, a smoldering wick. That describes many people in this room today. Perhaps you've been bruised by the trials of life. We all have been sometime or another, right? Perhaps you were bruised by harsh words, or by a friend's anger, or by a spouse's betrayal, or by your own failure or someone else's failure. You feel just bruised. You feel beaten up. Or perhaps you feel like a smoldering wick. You know, the candle, the wick? You feel like someone just smoldered you out. At one time you had passion for God, and you knew that you wanted to serve God with your whole life, and your passion was flaming high, but the winds of life have blown, and now you feel one step away from that flame just going totally out. You guys ever felt like that? where you were so on fire for the Lord, suddenly someone may have said something or discouraged you, you're smoldered out. There are so many bruised reeds and smoldering wicks in the Bible. You know, a lot of people in the Bible were considered to be bruised, considered to the point of smolder. You can remember a woman, remember standing before an angry crowd, wanting just mercy, but these people were ready to stone her. And Jesus, remember, he came on the scene, he says, if any of you without sin, throw that first rock. You remember that leper? He was an outcast. He was shunned from society. And remember that blind man on the side of the road? Or that paralytic lying on the stretcher? Or the woman with a long-term illness? They had come to a point where he says, what's the use? I've come to the end of my rope. Where you realize you have Jesus that's residing in you. He's alive. You got to hold on to that hope in Jesus, because you are never without hope. If you believe in Jesus, you know that hope is alive in you. Amen? You hold on to it, and you know God will see you through it. God will hold you strong. Bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. You know, I got to tell you, the world is so good at breaking those reeds in two and snuffing out those smoldering wicks. Because you've been there, right, where you went to a friend and you tried to find counsel through a friend or a family. And sometimes, you know, people can say what they say. And sometimes you feel like you can find comfort through this person. And guess what? They just break you in two. I know that's sad. I've been there before. And you go, what? What? How? I counted on you. But the scripture clearly tells us, you know, man can fail you, but God can never fail you. We go to God, God can restore. God can give you the comfort that you need so that you truly will experience healing. You will truly experience restoration. Because what did Jesus say in that scripture? He said, a bruised reed I will not break, and a smoldering wick I will not snuff out. In my name, you will put your hope. In the name of Jesus, you put your hope in God, in Jesus. He won't snuff you out. He will not break you. He will restore you. He will renew you. Amen? And you know the great message of Easter is that Jesus Christ was powerful enough to move that stone and overcome the grave, then he is powerful enough to move the stones that are blocking our lives. Whatever it is, whatever obstacle that you think is there blocking you from receiving the fullness of God, God is just a cry away. You go to God. No matter what it is, God will help you. God will see you through it. Because the resurrection gives us hope in the face of the unfairness of this world. Because we know this world can be unfair. But you know what? We hold on to the truth of God. No matter what the world says, no matter what the world does, we stay fixed on Jesus. Amen? He's the author and the perfecter of your what? Your faith. He will see you through it. Because it gives us strength and courage in every situation that we face. We need it. You need it. I need it. We need the grace of God. We need the power of God present in our lives as we trust in Him. You know, I read a story some time back about the Civil War. It was about this Union soldier that was shot in the arm during the Battle of Shiloh. And the captain saw that the soldier was wounded, and he barked out an order. Give me your gun, private. Get to the rear. And the private handed over his rifle and ran toward the rear, seeking safety. But after only going about 200 or 300 yards, he came upon another battle. So he ran to the left and found himself in another part of the battle. Then he ran to the right, but he encountered more fighting there. Finally, he ran back to the front lines, shouting, Captain, give me back my rifle. There ain't no rear into this battle nowhere. And you know, when it comes to the troubles of this world, of this daily life? There ain't nowhere to this battle, nowhere. You ever felt like that? You're looking for some sort of relief, some sort of comfort that you can hold on to. I go, hear nothing. 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 And you go, guess what? It's when we start looking up. Oh, we start looking up and say, Lord, you're there, aren't you? That's when we start crying out to God. Because when you realize, man, there's no relief, you realize there's a high power that can truly help you, amen? We start looking up and God will see your heart. God knows that you cry out to Him, He's going to give you all you need to be strengthened, to continue on this path where we know as we do it His way, He's going to bless us as we truly hold on to His words. And that's why the Easter story is such good news. The resurrection tells us that we're never alone and that Jesus gives us hope for a bright future. He gives us that hope for a bright future, guaranteed. But you must hold on to Him and don't let go. You must do things His way. Amen?
Amen.
Well, letter A now. You can write in that blank. Angel with an invitation to check it out. Angel, with an invitation to check it out. You know, the gospel writer Matthew records that when the women came to the tomb, the first thing the angel did, what did he do? The angel invited them inside and he said, come and see the place where he lay. He said, take a look at the evidence. And God still invites us to do this this very day. I want you to realize that. I want you to understand it because you can look for yourself. And you see, the evidence is there if you investigate. If you look into His Word, if you want to do a research on the internet, go ahead. You're going to find that God is real. A lot of atheists have done this. That God is not real. And they did the research and in the end they go, oh, I need God. Many, many cases like that. And we realize that God invites us to do this. And if you investigate, you will find God. But more importantly, you got to look within your heart. Amen? It's not about the head knowledge. It's about the heart of how you receive the message. You know, an empty tomb, an undisturbed grave clots, a 2,000-pound stone that's rolled away, and over 515 eyewitnesses. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 4-8. It says here, He was buried, and He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture says. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by more than how many? 500 of His followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then He was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born the wrong time, I also saw Him. But there were many eyewitnesses that had witnessed the return, the resurrection of Jesus. And the evidence shows truly that Jesus rose again. And that the tomb was empty and the soldiers, they couldn't explain it. They had no story. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him for that day. I want you to know that Paul did not say, I know what I have believed. What did he say? I know whom I have believed. And I want to tell you this morning, I want you to know that. I can tell you the same thing. I know whom I believe. It's not about what I believe. Because when I say I know whom I believe, I tell you, I experience God on a daily basis. I hear His voice. He speaks to all of us. If you go to Him with your whole heart, He speaks to you. He loves you. It's about experiencing God, not so much what you believe, it's whom you believe, knowing that it is Jesus Christ Himself that makes Himself ever so present in your life. And you know, millions of people down through the centuries have themselves found Jesus and followed Him, and their lives are transformed when they truly live the Word of God, when they realize the Word of God is absolute truth. And you know, atheists who have said to prove that Jesus' resurrection did not happen, They all ended up overwhelmed by the evidence and the person of Jesus Christ. It's true, many atheists have tried, but they couldn't disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, people like the English journalist, his name is Frank Morrison, or Lew Wallace, the author of Ben-Hur, or attorneys like Al Roper and Josh McDowell, scholars like England's Lord Lyttelton and Gilbert West, athletes like Deion Sanders and Emmett Smith, personalities like Jane Fonda and Mel Gibson, people who at first discounted the resurrection. They said, that's a lot of baloney. But when they investigated, they met Jesus Christ and they knew his presence is real. They knew that Jesus truly rose again. And guess what? They all came to a personal saving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, come and see, go ahead, investigate. Just like the angel said, and you will believe. Go for it. If you have not come to that point of a saving relationship with our Lord and Savior, go and investigate. But remember, don't leave your heart behind. It's with your knowledge from your head, but also you got to receive Jesus from your heart. Amen? Okay, let's look at the letter S now. Write in that blank. Surprise at an empty grave. Surprise at an empty grave. And you know, there was this four-year-old boy who was sent by his dad to go down to his Sunday school class with offering money that he had given him. And after class, when his dad picked him up, he still had these two quarters just clenched ever so tightly in his hand like that. And his dad said, Scott, why didn't you give your offering to Jesus down in your class? And Scott looked at his dad with all the seriousness of a four-year-old. And he said, Dad, Jesus hardly ever shows up down there. Well, you know, not many people expected him to show up that Sunday morning. And what a surprise it was, right? Because a lot of people, you know, they were told that he would come back. But guess what? They were surprised. Really? Jesus? He's back? He came back from the dead? What a shock that his new birth had caused. Look at what it says here in Luke 24:10-11-37. It says here, it was Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles, but they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like, what, nonsense. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And everyone involved was surprised at how it turned out. The soldiers didn't have an answer. The Pharisees were caught trying to come up with a backup plan. And the religious leaders who thought that truly he was buried, the one who challenged your way of life, they were shocked when Sunday morning rolled around. And Jesus was not in the tomb, because Jesus rose victoriously over sin and death. And they were like, what? How? And that is the greatest surprise this world has ever known. Amen? What a surprise. Well, look at letter T now. You can write in a blank, tell. And this is the command they were given, to tell. Because after the angel invited the surprised woman into the tomb, they were told what? To tell the good news to others. You cannot keep it to yourself. If you know Jesus is truly alive and you witness it, are you going to keep it to yourself? No, because some people say, oh, I don't know, I don't want to share that because people are going to think I'm crazy. Well, you know what? The Bible says we are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We are not to be ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. And we are to tell the whole world, he's alive, and he has a great purpose and plan for your life. This is the command that was given to them, and this is the one that a lot of us choose to ignore. Sometimes we know we got to open our mouth and share our faith, tell people about the gospel, but you know what? We say, oh, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know what that person is going to think of me. Because, you know, for those of us who say we believe in Jesus Christ, we are commanded to go and tell others. Yet, we still sit quietly sometimes after opportunity passes us by. God, He will give us this opportunity. Are we going to take it? Realizing we just see someone who's just down and out. They're crying. They just feel like they're so lost. Are we going to go there and say, are you okay, brother? Or are you okay, sister? And, you know, if you have that opportunity, share your faith. Do it. Because I tell you, sometimes in my mind, I think, oh, they're probably not going to listen. But you'd be surprised. When they're in that state of mind, they're open. And you start talking about God. Say, God, tell me more. So many situations, I've seen that, where I just start talking about God. And their heart is wide open. And you know, do you know how most people come to know Jesus Christ, by the way? Do you know what the most effective mode of evangelism is? Where's Brother Carl? He goes out and he evangelizes, you know, just about every Saturday. But you know what it is? It is one person inviting another person to come to church with them. I don't know, you probably thought, oh, I thought you was going to say the most effective mode of evangelism is one person telling another person about Jesus Christ. You know what? That's good. We have to do that. That's very effective. But did you know the reality of it is that 90 to 95% of all commitments to Jesus Christ, people have made a decision for Christ, they have done this after someone had invited them to attend church. They heard the message, the Word of God touched their heart, and they realized how much they needed Christ. So you got to invite people to church. This is a nationwide study they found. They said, this is how people come to know Christ. Most people anyway, when they were invited to church. And that's the thing, right? They will hear the gospel of Christ, and then they will say, Jesus, come into my heart. You know, just like the woman at the well, remember? Where Jesus had an encounter with this woman at the well. And you remember, she went back to her town, and you know what she said to everyone? Come and see a man who knows all that I've done, yet still loves me. And we got to realize we got to invite people to church. And we are to love them, not with our own love, but with the very love of God. Because then they will want to come back and say, you know what? They love me regardless of what I've done. Oh, they love me. And it's genuine. It's real. Because the responsibility to share Christ, yeah, it is for every one of us. But you know, we do it as a group, as a family of believers united in the Spirit of Christ, that we know as we truly put in this effort, it's the Holy Spirit that will come forth and will allow us to speak the very words that will touch that person's heart. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 3, 5-7. It says, Paul says, after all, who is Apollos and who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted a seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is what? That God makes the seed grow. And you got to realize we're in this mission together. It's never a situation, oh, he's got a more important position than I have, or he's doing something that is far greater than what I'm doing. No, we're in this together. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I plant, Apollos watered, but God, he's the one that gives the increase. We do it together. And people come to know Jesus Christ because we're all in it. You know, when people come to the church, we're just going to embrace them, right? So, welcome, brother. Welcome, sister. God loves you. They have to experience this. Because if they don't, they say, well, I can just go to any other church, any social gathering, or any religious gathering. No, we show them the love of God. And they will want to come back because they're truly experiencing the love of God. You know, because everyone of us has a role to play. You know, there's Christians that pray, that friends invite, people talk, greeters greet. You know, the worship team, they worship the Lord. Preachers preach. We do it all together. Realizing when we do it together, the Spirit of God magnifies. The Spirit of God just increases. And while we're doing all this, we know God is working. God is working the hearts of the people. Amen? As we do our part, as we say, Lord, whatever you ask. Well, look at letter E here. It says, excitement that the woman felt that morning. Look what it says in John 20, 16-17. It says here,
Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus says, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Can you just imagine how excited Mary was? I mean, can you imagine? She probably didn't just say, Rabboni. No, she said, Rabboni! And you can imagine how she just embraced him. Oh man, can you just almost picture it and sense the love that is emanating from our Lord Jesus Christ as we just embrace him. That's what he wants, and that's why she was so excited. And we gotta get excited. He's risen! And we gotta say, thank you, Lord, for you did it for me, and you are alive. You know, in an old Good Friday, you know, you remember Family Circus? You know that cartoon strip? You know, in this particular cartoon strip, little Billy and his brother are walking along through a store, you know, and they notice all the Easter decorations and the candy, you know, those chocolate Easter bunnies and all that. And Billy says, oh, this may be Good Friday, but Sunday's going to be even gooder. And you know, that's kind of bad English, right? But it's really profound when you really think about it, because, you know, early that Easter morning, the disciples and the woman who were first to find the empty tomb didn't realize just how much gooder Sunday was going to be. But it sure was, wasn't it? It was gooder than gooder. And you kind of think about it, yes, we don't get stuck on the Friday because Sunday, he's risen. It's the best news you ever hear in your life. Because here's the thing, we don't always see right away how things are going to turn out, right? Sometimes we kind of, oh man, I'm stuck in this situation. But that's how it was for the disciples on Friday and Saturday. But what a difference a day makes. You know, you may remember the Army Private First Class Jessica Lynch. You remember that name? You remember that name? Years ago, you know, it was like actually March 23rd, 2003, she was part of a group of soldiers that were ambushed by Iraqi forces. And on Tuesday, April 1st, she was still missing. And can you imagine just the hurt and the pain and the anguish and the confusion of her family, knowing that their child is missing and probably presumed dead? They're probably thinking, she's not coming back. And, you know, she's only in her early 20s. But on Wednesday, April 2nd, word comes back that in a daring rescue mission, Lynch was recovered and she would return safely back home. You guys remember that? It was in the news and newspaper and all that. Can you just imagine the excitement that the family was experiencing when they heard the news? Can you imagine the difference in emotion from Tuesday to Wednesday? It was like almost from great despair and sadness, total loss of hope, to total elation. Just from beep, beep, beep. I'm just like that. From total as the worst as you can get, all the way to high elation. It's like Saturday Night Live. Never mind. What did I say? I don't know. But anyway, but can you imagine the excitement? They thought that their daughter was dead, but she's found to be alive and she's coming home. What a difference a day makes. And you know what? That may be many of you that are living in day one. Remember, that's why we just celebrated Good Friday, right? Imagine that you were one of the disciples on that day when Jesus was taken away. It's the day of the trial, day one. And you're getting hit on all sides. People are telling you, you're the one that hung out with Jesus, right? People are pointing fingers at you. It's here, it's now. And life is pouring down on you. You're going, what? Really? Look at Jesus, he's beaten up. And if you're in the midst of day one, I tell you, whatever situation you're in your life right now, my encouragement to you is that you got to maintain hope. You got to remember your hope in Christ. Don't ever let that go. Because the devil will tell you, forget about it. Don't even try to do anything. It's hopeless, your situation. Don't believe God is stronger. God will rise as you let your spirit man rise up. Say, Lord, your creator, I'm trusting in you, Lord. And as you do that, watch as your spirit just comes alive. Because you know God, he will come in and he will show himself strong. And then, you know, there are probably even more of you living in day two. Like the disciples on Saturday. Because, you know, the heat of the trial may be over now, but guess what? There is now. There's confusion. There's frustration. There's discouragement. What? Jesus? He's dead? Imagine, this is the day after, remember? The day after Jesus, he was nailed to the cross and he died. And now, perhaps your faith is weak. That's it? I serve this man, I believe, I know he was God, and that's it? It's done? There's a lot of confusion, right? You've been there, I've been there. Situations, what, God? Really? You're not going to do anything? Really? And you know, the future seems cloudy, and the outcome is uncertain. But if that's where you are, the most important thing you got to do at this time is maintain your faith. Because first day, we're maintaining hope. Second, we've got to maintain our faith. You got to go to God and say, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to trust more in you, because I know, Lord, you're not going to leave me here. Lord, I'm holding on to you with everything I have, everything I am. I'm holding on. You got to have faith. Because what a difference a day will make, amen? Because now we go to day three. And day three is a day of victory, a day of good news, a day of renewed hope. And if you're not there now, be assured that it's coming. Because a lot of times I hear people say, Pastor, I've been in this situation for so long. I think I'm stuck here. God wants me to be here. God just wants me to be miserable. And I've accepted it as my fate. That I will be miserable for the rest of my life. Even though if I believe in God, I put my hope in Him, God wants me miserable. I said, man, that's a lie of the devil. Don't believe that. Because God promised, I sent my Son so that you may have the abundant life. That's the truth. And you can have that abundant life as you hold on to God. Don't let go. Because day three means hope. Day three means a change of fortune. Day three means a victory. Whether it's now or in heaven. Because I don't know if you guys heard of Tony Campolo. You know, he preached this one sermon. I love it. Where he said, it's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. You got to realize, if you're still stuck on Friday, and maybe you're even on Saturday and you're wondering, huh? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. As you hold on to God, Sunday will be coming because He promises it. He loves you too much. He's not going to let you get stuck in the muck. He's going to pull you out because He loves you. He will clean you off. As you hold on to His word, He will make sure that you'll go back on track and you will be blessed. As you realize, Lord, I'm doing it your way. Because what a difference a day makes. You have to maintain your hope. Maintain your faith. Be encouraged and be excited about day three. Because it's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And this is how we relate it to our own lives. Knowing that day three is coming. God will see to it that you are restored. God will see to it that you will truly experience His power and His presence. You know, there's this old spiritual song that says, sit down, brother. I can't sit down. Sit down, brother. I can't sit down. Sit down, brother. I can't sit down. I just got to heaven and I can't sit down. Can you imagine that day we're going to be in heaven? And you're not going to want to sit down because you're going to be dancing for joy. And who knows, maybe God will give you flashbacks of all the situations you've been through in your life. And you go, oh man, why did I sit down when that happened? Because look, I see you, Lord. You're doing something. You were carrying me, Lord. You were making things happen when I cried out to you. And we got to realize, man, we cannot sit down. Even in our trials, even in the times when we're experiencing hardship, don't sit down and keep your head down. No. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the lifter of our heads. Lift your head up high and say, Lord, I believe in you. Trust in him and he will get you there. Well, R means resurrected Lord who is living today. The last one here. R means resurrected. And you know, only in Christianity do we find a resurrected Lord. Because you know, Muhammad, is he still in the grave? Yeah, he is. Buddha, is he still in the grave? Yes, he is. Confucius, Joseph Smith, they're still in the grave? Yes, only Jesus rose from the dead. He said he would come back, and did he do it? Yes, he did. No other religious leader had defeated death. So you know he's the one and only true God. Now I've got to tell you about this time a Sunday school teacher had finished telling her third graders about how Jesus was crucified and placed in the tomb, and there was a stone that was sealing the entrance. And then, wanting to share the excitement of the resurrection, she asked the class, and what do you think were Jesus' first words when he came bursting out of that tomb alive? You know, hands shot up in the air at the rear of the classroom, and the little girl just jumped up and out of her chair, and she shouted excitedly, I know! I know! Good, said the teacher. Tell us, what were Jesus' first words? And with both her arms high into the air, she says, Ta-da! Think about that. Ta-da! And you know, you have to understand, our resurrected Lord is the most important aspect of our faith. It's the ta-da of Christianity, knowing that Jesus is resurrected. Because you think about this, right? Where else do you hear ta-da, right? When you see some kind of magic, you know, show, you know, where they perform this trick, right? It's a trick. But is this a trick? No, it's the real thing. It was no trick. It was real. God resurrected. And he went, ta-da! And because of Easter, we know that God in Christ Jesus is more powerful than anything in this life. Yes, even death. God is greater. There's nothing greater than God. He's almighty. He's all powerful. Let me close this morning with the story of this woman named Kay Arthur. You know, Kay Arthur, she was a writer, a lecturer, and many thousands of people around the world were impacted by the Bible studies that she had put out. And, you know, she's a committed Christian woman, but it had not always been that way. Because you see, many years ago, when she was in her 20s, she was as far away from God as a person could get. She was living with her husband, who was manic depressive, and she just got tired of living with him. And so she had an affair with a married man, and then when her husband found out, he became so depressed, he threatened suicide. And when he had threatened suicide, she was so uncaring. She said, you know what? Go ahead. Go kill yourself. I could use the insurance money. Ooh. And you know what he did? He hung himself. You know, and Kay Arthur said that as she drove away from the cemetery that day, she felt like such a failure as a wife, as a mother, as a person. And she felt such anger and frustration and pain. And she said as she drove away, she shook her fist to the sky and she screamed, to hell with you, God. But she said, what I didn't know until later was that that was exactly what Jesus did for me. He gave his life. He went to the very gates of hell. And he did it for me. Oh, look at the scripture, Revelation 1:18. Jesus says, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and and death. What this means for you and me is that we are no longer held bondage by the devil. Because if you haven't made a decision for Christ, you can just imagine that devil's got a shackle around your ankle. You may be dragging this huge ball that's dragging you behind. God is calling out your name, but you're still so focused on the things of the world. God's calling out your name. And you know, Jesus, he said, I got the keys. I got the keys to set you free. And we must make a choice. We got to make a decision to say, yes, Lord. I'm tired of living life the way I want it. You got to come to a point and say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. We got to make a decision for Christ so that we may be set free from these bondages of sin. You know the title of Kay Arthur's book that relates her story is called Lord, I Need Grace. Don't we all need grace? It's kind of unconditional love. No matter what we do, God says, I'm not going to stop loving you. And maybe you're here this morning, you're feeling the same way. You say, oh, I just need more grace. I need more forgiveness. I need hope. You know what? You're guaranteed to find it in the resurrected Lord named Jesus Christ. He has it abundantly for you. God loves you too much to let you stay miserable and live a life full of despair and dread. Because a lot of people I've talked to, they said, there's no hope. Nothing's going to get better. So why don't you try Jesus? Because you know what? I was in your shoes not that long ago. And I kind of thought, what can Jesus do for me? Why should I believe in him? And I have to tell you, it's been like 20-something years ago. I tell you, it's the best life I've ever lived. In those years that Jesus was alive in my life, man, there were times I felt like giving up. But then I just called on the name of Jesus, and he came. He showed himself strong in my life when I trusted in him. You know, I have to tell you, there's this little girl that was so distraught that the very fact her cat had been hit by a car and was killed. You know, the mother, seeking to console her, you know what she says? She says, well, honey, at least you know that your cat is now with God. And the girl, she scrunched up her face. And she kind of thought about it for a second and said, I don't think so. What would God want with a dead cat? And it's true. What would God want with a dead anything? Because, you know, he specializes in working with the dead. You may say, oh, my marriage is dead. Oh, my relationship with my children are no more. Oh, I can never find a job. I'm stuck in this situation where I'll never get better. Oh, financially, I'm in ruins. You may say all these things. You may say, oh, it's dead. But you go to God. Life. Life of Jesus will come upon you as you trust in him. He does not allow the dead to stay dead. He will bring it back to life. Whatever it is in your life, he will bring it back to life as you trust in him. You must say, Lord, not my way. I'm dead to myself, and I'm alive in you. No longer my way, Lord. Your way, Father. Your way. In Romans 6:8, it says here, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And the key is we must die to ourselves. If you truly want this life, the very life that we know Jesus had when he was resurrected from the dead, we got to die to ourselves. We can't say what I want to do anymore. We got to say what you want to do, Lord. And Lord, I know what you want me to do. Sometimes I don't want to do it. But you know, God's ways are always the best ways. His ways will always bring forth his life. Amen. I want to show you this video, Benson. It's one of my favorite songs. I don't know if you guys watched that movie, God's Not Dead. I don't want to tell you what it's about, but if you haven't watched it, go ahead and watch it. But I want to show you the song. And just listen to the lyrics. I got the lyrics on the screen. Powerful song.
God's not dead.
God, you know, I like the lyrics where it says, God's not dead, he's surely alive, living on the inside, roaring like a lion. And you know what? He should be roaring like a lion inside of you, because he's alive. And you know, if you may be saying, but Pastor, I don't feel like he's roaring a lion. I feel like there's a dead cat in me. Well, get rid of that dead cat in the name of Jesus. Because you know what? Dead cats, they start to smell and get stinky. And you don't want that, do you? You want Jesus. You want the Holy Spirit roaring in you. People will see it. And people will say, I want what you have. Please tell me. How can I get on board? Because I see Jesus is roaring like a lion in you. Truly, truly, if he's roaring in all of us, the world will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts? Let's come before our Lord God and King. Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. And truly, we know, Father, you're not dead. Jesus is alive in us. And we thank you, Lord, knowing that as we trust in you, as we believe in you, Lord, you will never disappoint us. You will continually lift up our spirit
And Father, as we live your word, as we choose to do what you tell us to do, then truly we can experience your blessings in full. And Father, I ask you now, Lord, knowing today is Easter Day, knowing that Jesus, this is the day that Jesus is resurrected. He's resurrected forevermore. He's alive. He's alive in this world. He's alive in our hearts. He's alive in us. He's roaring like a lion. And I pray, Father, right now, there may be brothers and sisters that I can just sense, Lord, that they may be hurting. There's still pain in their soul. Father, you know all of our hurts. The Bible tells us you collect all of our tears in a bottle. And I just pray right now, Father, as we come with our hearts wide open to you, I pray your Holy Spirit will speak to every one of us here. If there's anything that we need to make right with you, I pray that we're going to choose to do it this very day, knowing that Jesus is alive within us. We got to let go of anything that causes us to stumble, anything that causes us to draw away from you, not draw near to you. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and you're saying, Lord, I know what it is, Lord. You know what it is. Help me to let go of it, Father. Help me to make it right with you, Father. If this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, Lord, I'm giving it over to you. I surrender all of me unto you. If this is the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus. Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, for all of those that have raised your hands, Lord, you know what's going on in their lives. And I just pray right now, Father, as they surrender it to you, Father, will you just refresh them? Let your Holy Spirit's power and presence just come upon your children right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we rebuke the devourer. And I pray, Father, as these demon spirits know that they are defeated, they can never win. As long as we're crying out to God, Jesus Christ is roaring like a lion. Father, I pray that you will fill them up right now. All that has left, all that negativity, all that has come to see, kill and destroy are all gone. Father, will you fill them up right now, overflowing of your goodness, of your presence. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in our lives. We praise you in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart, deep within your soul. And if you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Jesus wants to welcome you into His Father's family right now. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, this is the Holy Spirit, because He loves you so much, He's going to tug at your heart and say, come. Come be a part of our family. So the Word tells us, He gladly invites all who is ready to receive Him. And if you want to receive Jesus Christ on this Easter day, you want to say yes to Jesus Christ. You want to give Him your life. You want to give Him your heart. Can you just raise your hand right now and say yes? I say yes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? I see your hands. Praise God. Anyone else? Say yes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray this prayer out loud. We're going to pray together as a family. Even if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior already, let's just pray it out loud together, professing what we believe as a family of who God is. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand. Give glory to God.